Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 163. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, buddy?
Pete, honestly, I'm feeling weak. I'm feeling sweaty.
You look red.
I got a bike since, you know, we're all in lockdown. In the past couple days, I've been riding it, and I hit 5 miles today, which isn't a huge distance, but man, the Texas summer is just brutal with the humidity. But there's some other bike riders out there that hopefully I can catch up to in terms of mileage. So
you don't have one of those hybrid bikes, right? That's like half pedaling and half battery.
No. Basically, my choice was you can get this like single gear, like, you know, bike for a grown child, or you could get a mountain bike, and there were no other choices. So I was like, okay, I'll get a mountain bike.
Nice.
It is not necessarily the best for cruising some distance.
Nice. That's interesting because I literally just saw our guest today on Twitter and he was taking his lunch break mountain biking. And so I want to talk to him about that, but why don't we bring him on first? VP of marketing for VMware, Lee Caswell. Lee, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, so good to be here, guys. I always love coming down the show.
Yeah, for sure. So the big question first and foremost is, I saw your bike. That's pretty nice. What kind of bike is that?
Hey, I got a specialized stump jumper that I take out, you know, and you don't have a lot of hills right in the Baylands here, but you can get out on the bay and it's beautiful to get out and just look over a little better at high tide, which it was today.
That's nice, man. Yeah, I have a pretty cheap mountain bike. I forget what it's called, but it's one of those entry level ones. I think I need to step up my game. Yours looks pretty cool.
It's fun to ride.
So Lee, big news at VMware recently. You know, we all have heard the rumors of an upcoming acquisition, and I hear that recently there's some updates on that. Can you tell us a little bit about this Datrium acquisition?
Yeah, exciting news really for everyone who's in storage and disaster recovery, especially, right? What Datrium brings to VMware is just another avenue, right, to exercise the hybrid cloud. You think about it, right? We're basically opening up the hybrid cloud. And for a lot of customers, these are really independent siloed activities, right? There's been shadow IT running in public cloud for sure, right? And we've got our like kind of adults responsible for security and resiliency on-prem. And so we're trying to bridge these two worlds. HCX was an early start, by the way. SRM, another one, right? Around how we orchestrate and manage our VMware site recovery. This is different though. I'm excited to share with you about how disaster recovery as a service is a leading use case for people getting started with the hybrid cloud.
Yeah, that's the thing. So when I first heard this, obviously I know about Datrium, but I definitely imagined that one of the first questions we would start to hear from customers was, doesn't VMware already do that? Why are they acquiring a company with technology that they already do? So maybe we can give the high level answer of sort of what are some of the key differences or what really attracted VMware to this DR as a service company.
You know, it can occasionally be confusing for people looking inside VMware because what happens is in the early stages of a market, we rarely have one approach. We usually have a couple of different ways to go and do things. And actually what you'll find is, interestingly enough, like if you go back to, remember VSA versus vSAN, right? We do things in a non-integrated, right? I mean,
I deployed VSA in production, believe it or not.
See, well, so we usually start non-integrated, even the type one hypervisor. We had type two and then we moved to type one. We did VSA, then we moved to vSAN. We had like non-integrated Kubernetes and moved to integrated. What you found was, you know, we started with something called VMware Site Recovery, which I think of as hot DR. Think of that for a minute, right? This is basically live instances, pre-allocated storage and compute in VMC, our VMware cloud. And the idea was basically that you had a hot way to go and basically fail over, fail back across the hybrid cloud. And because customers who are starting with the cloud, I mean, DR tends to be just an ideal use case for renting, right? You don't want to basically have things going all the time. Well, so we showed how you could do this in a hot manner first, but what Datrium brings, right, that's really interesting is extending a more cost optimized approach. And I'm calling that warm DR myself because it, you know, nothing comes without a cost, by the way, right? So, you know, you're basically giving up some RPO, some RTO, but we think this expands the market dramatically for customers who want to use the cloud as a DR target, but don't want to pay for it all the time.
Mm, yeah, sure.
But it's, That cost thing is just a big thing. I remember talking to Cato a long time ago. I was like, what's the biggest competitor of SRM? And he's like, well, we did some studies a while back and we convinced it was, that's expensive. No DR. Was the real, it's not all these other replication. Like the market for DR is huge in theory, but the objections because of cost, because I'm going to either have to pay for double the capital infrastructure.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'm going to have to lease a fully hot and ready to go, which is still not cheap. I mean, just the costs were striking. So it sounds like there's a lot of efficiencies here with this technology to make it not just a 2x for something that I need on a 4 or 5 sigma event.
Well, listen, you know, the other thing that's happening, right, is that data and operations infrastructure are considered mission critical more and more every day. Do you remember when mail was considered a non-critical application? Remember? And actually, all of a sudden, like, yeah, and like all of a sudden people are like, oh yeah, like if mail goes down, like that's important, right? Well, listen, what application today isn't critical to running a business? This is a different definition, right? We used to say that mission critical meant, right, that like everything stopped, but now we're finding that pretty much, you know, applications of any kind, it's pretty hard to find an application that's not driving basically either productivity or real revenue. And that's the nature of application change. So I think what we're finding, right, is the explosion in mission critical applications means that, hey, you've now got customers who are like, yeah, but man, I can't just pay for the same replicated infrastructure. And can I find a more cost effective way and get that? So I think the market's expanded for what's considered disaster recovery worthy.
Yeah.
And then secondly, right, we're looking and saying, hey, how would you do this more efficient?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that's a good point, that the expansion of those, what's now a tier one workload. I remember when I first took this job a long time ago, I remember getting an argument, I think with Howard Marks or someone, about VDI being a tier one workload.
Yeah, right.
Because VDI was kind of viewed as this luxury for a couple remote employees. And now you got doctors who can't get orders in. I mean, if the EMR is up, but no one can get an order in, is it up? Is it really up?
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I have seen Datrium had some interesting, they've done some interesting demos on particularly like replicating app volumes, which is historically a pain in the butt.
Exactly.
Those are a weird, unstructured, you know, those, you know, first class disk style VMDKs, replicating those was historically painful. And there were one of the few people I've seen come up with a real solution to that problem. And so expanding out, you're right, expanding out these use cases, it's definitely expanding and dropping the cost. That sounds like a pretty good answer to, you know, why Datrium.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the things that they, you know, they've done and that we're really excited about, right, is the ability to tap into S3, for example. So object storage, right? So that gives you a lower cost basis to start with, right?
Yep.
But then the piece that's really instrumental here, right, that's really different, you know, is how do you start from an architectural design point? Because that's what really gives you your long-term trade-offs that you live with forever, right? So if you think about the architectural design point here was to have a DR system completely integrated with cloud-native tools. That's different than starting on-prem and extending into the public cloud. And what that means is that, you know, that same customer that's looking at more, let's call it cost or even cash efficient DR is also the one that it's got to be super simple to use. It's got to be completely integrated, right? Because listen, the reason they're trying to do this is like so that you can basically operate it with generalists. And that's a big theme that we've seen overall, right? We're trying to make this same VMware cloud, right, operated for generalists across your choice of hardware, your choice of cloud, your choice of application, right? Kubernetes, AI, like it's all going to work in this environment, right? With mixed workloads. We found like that this was really part of the core element they had. And, you know, with the brand go to market and support backing of VMware, we think we can accelerate this in our rate.
I know historically Datrium has definitely been, you know, known for simplicity and cost. And DR is, you know, not a lot of companies, there are some that do it better than others, but I can just remember some old traditional DR scenarios where you needed to be a storage wizard and master of the command line just to get replication to happen before you could even start
Don't
to
consider.
Don't
bring back flashbacks of Horkum files, Pete. I didn't ask for that.
Exactly. Well, you remember defragging, right? A disk, right? Remember the blocks like flying across this, right? Like how many hours do we spend doing that, right? Where all of us were storage admins.
Yeah.
Everyone, right? Now, what you find in DR is that I think of DR like weddings and funerals. They happen infrequently. You know, events happen infrequently. They're high risk, managed by people who don't do it every day, right? That's a recipe for disaster, right?
Yeah.
Instead, what we want is we want something that's easy to test, easy to implement, cost effective to go and drive, and in a way that basically makes DR a little bit more like vMotion, if you think about it, right? So remember how vMotion was like a magic thing, right? For VM moving to another, so for maintenance to start with. But that led into things like DRS to be able to share and load balance, right? Or HA and FT, right? Different use cases. And I see this as a way to basically move, migrate, basically recover, right? Across a variety of targets, right? Starting with VMC, which is the target design point, but clearly you would imagine without sharing too many features, right? That we would be expanding this across our full portfolio of cloud partners.
That's really cool because there's a lot of value add that can be added there in terms of providing ancillary support services for that from the partner side, working out the networking, getting that transport, although obviously we've done a lot with NSX to make that easier on the partners.
Right.
You mentioned DR, that wedding and funeral. I worked for a small service provider, and we did some basic DR as a service stuff. And the value that we provided was not in the replicating or the IP or the, you know, trying to find the cheapest way to design it. I mean, that helped. But it was when, you know, someone was getting hit by a hurricane to being, say, hey, we've got the infrastructure, it's in a safe place, and we're going to hold your hand through bringing it up.
Exactly.
There's a lot of opportunity, or there's, you know, maybe something that requires some sort of manual outside. Somebody had a mainframe or something. So there's an awful lot of room for a services ecosystem around DR as a service.
And frankly, that's the way partners make money these days. They don't make money reselling things, right? I mean, that's not really the value prop. So as you look at the VMware cloud, and that now this basically extends across the hybrid cloud, things like cloud services are a huge part of how these, you know, our partners are looking to basically make value, create value.
Yeah.
In a hybrid world, which is what, you know, I think we hoped to be the case and now is proving to be the case.
No, that's been an interesting, I was talking to James Kilby and some other partners in the ecosystem, and there's a lot of help in that, in architecture and in design and helping with day two operations across that.
Right.
And this is a great platform for helping enable that. I mean, the other thing also to think about from DRaaS is it's also a more efficient way to move data. Anything that's a more efficient way to move data can also double as a migration tool. I mean, it's not necessarily well advertised, but a lot of SRM actually got used a non-trivial amount of times as a migration tool.
Oh, yeah.
We have HCX and some other things to help with that, but there's some other interesting kind of avenues to go down in this tool.
I mean, some people have also asked, by the way, you know, because Datrium also, you know, started out as like a DHCI company,
That's right,
you know, more disaggregated. They had pivoted before, you know, this acquisition, and that, you know, we acquired them for the DR as a service product. I think it's probably just important to get out there that's the intent of our, you know, the acquisition.
Yeah, they had DVX, which is still a thing, I guess. But that leads me to one of my other questions for you, Lee. Mm-hmm. They have quite a few small products that are, you know, of course, they're known for just their DR as a service. You know, they're partnering with VMware Cloud on AWS. And they also have some other smaller tool sets, you know, like Cloud Backup, Control Shift, you know, and some other ones. Are these all going, we get everything, right? So this all goes into VMware and somehow will be reused?
Yeah. So we're acquiring the, you know, company, and we've got now, and the deal closed today, by the way. So we're welcoming Datrium employees, right? So
officially welcome.
But the, you know, the primary focus here is the DR as a service model. And that's one that, you know, we see that as a fast growing business today, and also the lead entry point of how customers are working or exercising the hybrid cloud. And so that's the focus of, you know, where we'll be putting all of our emphasis.
Yeah.
Well, and this does remind me of something where Pat said a couple of years back, and it almost sounded aspirational, about people trying to get to data center zero. And the first data center to get rid of, if you have 40 data centers and you're trying to compact down, is the one that you power on hopefully once every 3 years at most.
Right.
Like, this just seems like the logical target of that. So you talking about this being the entry point to hybrid cloud. It seemed aspirational back then when Pat said it, but as we see more and more customers moving to either using VMC or one of our cloud hosting partners, this definitely fits into that vision.
Yeah. And you can see like all the things that we're doing across the hybrid cloud, you can see this being another element, right, of how we go and bridge this. And I think, you know, it's interesting, as we've talked even about like the sales teams, right, that certainly the, you know, target customer is going to be a, you know, there's an on-premises customer who's going to be looking to fail over, fail back. But there's also, you know, the cloud native customer looking at how to go and basically build out these cloud tethered options. And this is one where I think, you know, watch VMware strategy carefully here, because there are other cloud tethered options like AWS Outposts or Google Anthos, right? Or even Azure, right? Of course. But what VMware is doing uniquely, right? It's your choice of cloud. It's choice of hardware. It's actually choice of SAN and HCI, by the way, with vVols.
Yeah.
You've got the choice, right, of integrating in your fiber channel and SAN investment, right, and bringing that in with vSAN always as the, you know, management domain, kind of the nuclear core reactor, if you will, right,
yep,
to bring up, manage the full stack. But, you know, extending that in means that customers are getting this future-ready infrastructure. And I really, you know, it's interesting for customers where, even if they're not sure how they're going to integrate with the hybrid cloud right now, they can get started. And by investing in the full stack, they have that as a degree of freedom. Or if they're not sure they're going to be running Kubernetes container-based applications right now or development, they could, right? And so you're watching VMware provide all the degrees of freedom that a customer is likely to exercise. And that's really powerful for customers making responsible decisions in uncertain times.
Oh, no, it makes sense to always have your options open. And it's the interesting thing, like on the Kubernetes that keeps coming up is I'll talk to people. They're like, I'm not using containers today. I don't have a bunch of developers. I'm not really planning on using it. And I'll be like, well, are you thinking about using vSAN file services? And they're like, yeah, sure. I'm like, well, that's running on containers. There's going to be things that you're going to consume that, and there already are things that are, you're going to consume that just right, happen to already run on containers. And if you can get them in such a way that you don't even have to think about Kubernetes or Docker or any of this, not, you know, stuff,
all the better.
You know, I was talking to a large Houston company this week, and I was like, well, what about your container strategy, right? And they were like, well, we're running some containers, but we're not developing them ourselves yet. And I was like, well, is somebody developing? They're like, well, yeah. So the issue is like, how do you basically integrate and bring these worlds together? And this is one of the things that, you know, that really struck me in the early days of VMware, right? VMware provided a career path for the server administrator. Remember, yep, that role was almost dead. I mean, there was almost nothing left to do, right? As a server administrator, suddenly you went and got your vSphere like credentials, right? And all of a sudden you got a 30% pay bump and you were like now instantly marketable, right? And we're watching the same thing, right? For watching infrastructure become developer ready. It doesn't mean they're the developers themselves, right? There's still two different worlds. And you can tell the two different worlds if you go to KubeCon versus VMworld.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Different
you
animals.
Can see that they're different. But that's where VMware is basically making sure that the, you know, infrastructure builder manager, right, can go and say, hey, we got that. Like, you bring me a Kubernetes application, I can deploy that. I can run it. One interesting data, but interesting for us to track this one, you know, John and Pete, is I saw some data the other day about how containers are like more than 50% of containers are basically shared across the hybrid cloud, which is much, much higher than VMs. Right, VMs tend to be localized, right? And,
yeah,
and they can be shared, but it's not the norm. Whereas this idea that containers would be portable, right, and move across the hybrid cloud gives me an idea about how, you know, as we become the prime, like a top tier target for container, you know, run and manage, that we could actually provide a really interesting value here. And I think this DR as a service will be a big part of that.
Hmm. Data portability, compute portability. All exactly, the options. So,
what do you think? Developer ready? Does that strike for you? I mean, does that give
developer
you
developer ready infrastructure? That's like that it. Sounds pretty buzzworthy.
Has a good catch to it. I like it. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm in marketing.
I'm already, you know, putting this into the context of some radio presentations I'm going to be watching.
Exactly.
So yeah, interesting acquisition. I was also curious. I know VMware. This is a VMware acquisition. I was actually curious why this wasn't a Dell acquisition. You know, we are owned by Dell.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Great point. You know, because we partner really closely with Dell, you know, who's, you know, as a storage provider, I don't think we've ever been closer, right, in terms of how we're working with vVols today.
Yeah.
I think suddenly we've realized, you know, together, right, that, hey, vSAN or HCI and storage are going to coexist. People aren't throwing away their SAN systems or their nope. NAS systems, and they're having to manage them both. And so we're helping customers do that. Right, it's consolidation of management. And so that's going quite well. This is kind of an interesting one, right? Because I think there's a great opportunity for the companies to work together on showing this hybrid cloud piece. I think it does make sense from a VMware perspective and the customer standpoint, though, to say, if I'm deploying VMC today, and I'm looking at DR as a service, and I want to have that be integrated into a single VMware managed service, VMware is probably in the best position to technically make that happen.
Sure.
And we also, as part of this acquisition, right, you know, are welcoming back a substantial number of really high quality, long-term previous VMware engineers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think two VMware principal engineers, I want to say, founded Datrium. So it's
so we're really, you know, excited about bringing that DNA back in, more cloud native, DNA into the VMware mix. I think is going to help us both.
It's always interesting to have a VMware employee leave and be founder or co-founder of another company and then come back to VMware eventually. Isn't that interestingly?
It is. And, you know, it's happening, I think, is there's this moment in time right now, right? We're really developing all of the pieces of the hybrid cloud. And that's a massive opportunity. We have, 32,000 employees today, right? So, not everybody can do this. And it turns out, right, like the hypervisor itself is an unbelievable control point.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the only architectural control point, right? It turns out, like, HCI and storage is another control point, that VCF is turning out, from my perspective, to be the ultimate architectural point where that platform gives you the opportunity to start doing things like compliance as a service, right? Mm-hmm. About thinking about management, monitoring, automation, right? AI ops.
Well, and we've got networking there too within VCF, with NSX. So we've got all the key things you're looking to monitor or control.
Yeah, I was trying to describe, and you know, what's happening for the customers, this is a lot to grok, right? To pull in all these elements of storage, network, compute, you know, and you basically learn, some people have some of these, but rarely do people have all of them.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're having to describe things in more generalist terms.
Generalist, yeah.
Yeah. So I was describing microsegmentation the other day as like a TSA pre-check. Imagine you're traveling with credentials, right? And you're coming in and basically being, and we used to travel, by the way, but you know, that idea that, you know, as you sent VMs across the hybrid cloud, right, that they would basically have pre-assigned policies associated with them and, you know, attributing to security. What's interesting, I think, right now is we're helping customers with the VMware Cloud Foundation, right? Fully integrated, lifecycle managed day two. We're helping customers assimilate the pace of innovation across all of the components and then make it manageable so that they can start looking up at the applications.
No, it's nice. I mean, I used to be the guy who had to hand stitch a lot of this stuff together, and it was a lot of work, and it wasn't always the most rewarding. Now I enviously look at, you know, oh, let's push a button and poof, Tanzu and the containers appear, and it's
exactly.
It's exactly. Come a long way. Oh, well, this VLCM, just patching everything. I mean, we used to patch everything by hand like savages.
Well, there's still people who feel like, you know, a good day's work is like configuring a router, right? So you have to move right away from these things that are, yeah, it's comforting, right? You know, hey, I know how to configure a router, right?
Yeah.
But then figure out like, hey, how are we going to go and spend time doing more high value add? And I was laughing about the defrag tool, but I mean, you remember like the hours and hours that people spent on tools that just went away,
mm-hmm.
right? Because technology can help solve this. And this is really just a great opportunity, especially when speed matters. Right. And even on the DR front, right? If you think about the investment and time it takes to go and configure, set up a DR system, test it, the idea that that could be like a simple integrated with the cloud like operation and do it cost effectively, you can imagine like this is a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
One kind of pivot here I wanted to take was acquisitions. Obviously, sure. The tech industry is known for some of the largest acquisitions that happen. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly out there. For every, you know, excellent acquisition, there's also some where we tilt our heads and wonder where $3 billion went at some companies. What have been your favorite acquisitions at VMware?
Well, you know, one of the ones that I really liked was, I think one of our execs, it might've been Pat, went out and said, where IBM acquired Red Hat for $34 billion, right? We got Heptio and Pivotal for roughly four, right? And we're $30 billion ahead if you think about how we're going to go take on, you know, effectively Red Hat and OpenShift, right?
Yeah.
And we will compete in this market, right? And so, you know, the ones that really work for VMware historically, right, are where core innovation is the starting point, even more than, you know, massive customer adoption. It's like core innovation, right, that could be pulled together and integrated cleanly. I mean, VMware's selling motion has a lot to do with, like, we're showing you that this is just a better engineered solution. Mm-hmm. And, you know, marketing aside, right? Because there's no marketing that can overcome the fact that something's not, you know, elegantly architected up front and integrated. And so I think for us, right, this acquisition, right, has all the elements of great architectural design point to start with. And then, you know, great engineers as part of the acquisition. And then, you know, the other part that has to happen is culturally, you have to be aligned, open on both sides, so it doesn't become a not invented here thing.
Yeah.
This was clearly defined upfront as being complementary with our existing like hot DR product. And so, and great recognition, right, that this was a opening opportunity, strategically critical to VMware also across all BUs, not just for ours. I think that makes it, you know, great recipe.
Yeah, I've seen some other acquisitions outside of VMware where, you know, company X acquires company Y, but they're completely different. Oh, come on, we can different. Name names.
Like Palm.
Cultures are completely different.
Flip Camera at Cisco. Like some of these, I'm like, wait, there's no technical alignment. There's no culture. Like, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some companies, you know, do big pivots, but it's interesting seeing this stuff. And then at VMware, I just feel like it's just like, I've looked down our M&A list and I'm like, wow. Like anything we've spent $1 billion on has actually been, has gone somewhere and become a multi-billion, you know, $1 billion revenue business unit.
Yeah, heck, like, NSX was an acquisition.
Nicira, you know, was one of my favorite. But also, like, AirWatch. I mean, mm-hmm. we basically became overnight the king of MDM.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, for culturally, also, you know, VMware has, you know, a good track record of assimilating new innovation, right, to... with the customer as the lead, right? It's a customer driven focus, right? It's not a VMware out focus. We've been asked by customers, right? How can you help us with DR as a service? It's a leading use case, right? It just comes up over and over. And, you know, we intercepted the market early, right? With the VSR product, got feedback and, you know, acted on it here, right? Yeah. Believing that, hey, the model that we need for customers was different than what we had. And, you know, that now we've got a solution, right, that's going to go meet a big need. Now, the other thing about VMware is we move fast, right? And so we're integrating, you know, intercepting the market quickly, getting feedback, iterating as necessary. And I think that that model really serves us well. So what do they say? Like the perfect is the enemy of the good or something like that.
But, well, I mean, we could have gone and tried to build something and spend another 3 years, or we could buy time to market, you know, is definitely an advantage of these types of acquisition.
Yeah, I think it's a shot in the arm for the storage team also, right? So we haven't had a storage acquisition since I think right back to the Versto days, right? And so, you know, to the team here, right, it's a real show of investment appetite, right? That this is a core element of, you know, data capabilities going forward.
Well, and people sometimes forget that VMware is a storage company, you know, believe it or not. Like VMFS is probably one of the most popular, stable, battle-tested, I mean, probably an exabyte or something more of data on it out there. It's, you know, you've got vSAN, but you've got, you know, some of the best APIs. I was going to ask you about that, VADP and VIO. Obviously, we're investing in our own replication here, but what about the ecosystem? Are we still committing to that? Or
we are, right? So there's a backup ecosystem, right? Which I see as different from the DR, right? So DP and DR, I mean, DR is a subset almost of data protection or business continuity, if you went even at a higher level.
Yeah.
You know, what we're looking for really is the DR capabilities here. You know, backing up to an S3 compliant cloud is a pretty well solved issue right now in the industry. But the DR aspect, right, that business continuity aspect is really a core element. So I see that as being important. And then, you know, we're continuing to work with other partners, and we have our VCPP partners, right? And they're supporting even, you know, products like iLand and others, right? And so people will continue to like make their own, build their own, but they will also, I think, look carefully at how the market evolves based on a new simplicity and cost point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. Yeah, I agree.
Well, and cost is something that I've heard, you know, you mentioned iLand. They're like 5 miles from my house here in Houston.
Oh, really? Okay.
Good people, Justin, those guys. But it's, you know, I've talked to a lot of different DR as a service providers, and any way to, optimize the onboarding in any way to drive down cost is highly welcome in this industry.
You know, we have less of an axe to grind also. So when we come to a customer and say, you know, tell us your applications, tell us your cloud, tell us, you know, we're like, you know, the one piece of lock-in we do ask for, right, is vSphere. And so, you know, this, you basically, like, any decision you make is going to have some element of lock-in. And so what, you know, we've argued is you use vSphere, right, to open up the degrees of freedom you're most likely to exercise. Right. Yeah. And so in these days and times, standardizing is good because it gives you these other options of choice. And, you know, other companies that are, I see our competitors as really more like Microsoft and Google and AWS, right, with these more cloud tethered options and great partners also, by the way. So don't get me wrong. But in that case, right, you're basically optimizing around, or even Oracle, right, around an application, right? So you're locking into either an application stack or to a single cloud, right, where most of our customers at scale, right, are using multi-cloud capabilities. And, you know, there's also not this integrated security model, which I think is exceptionally important and valuable. Customers are going to really get the feel for that, I think, over the next year about how important it is when you can get a common security model that's intrinsic. If indulge me for a minute, I saw a great picture actually about this the other day where they basically showed, you know, and in the summer, you can appreciate this, right? It was like a 1920s house, right? That had been refurbed on the outside with an air conditioner, an air conditioner in every window, right? And then, outside fire escape, right? That had been like patched onto the outside, right? And you got this extent of like bolting on, you know, security systems and everything versus, you know, a new building, right? Where you've got fully integrated security, fully integrated egress and access points, right? Fully integrated monitoring. And like, that's just a completely different view of, you know, moving from the complex and ugly to the and unmanageable into a centrally managed system with intrinsic security built in. I think that's going to be the core of how customers.
Well, it's that is a challenge for DR, because I mean, I remember having that when I was building out a DR site, and it's okay, great, we can replicate all the VM, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, our firewall is, you know, this ASA, and we have 8,000 lines of custom chiseled access control lists that need to be on the other site. And, oh God, I've got to get the IP block to answer over there too. So I've got to curse at the BGP gods and issue a small animal sacrifice to get the ISP to fail over. And it's
and didn't
stuff.
Anybody test this before we failed over?
Yeah, no. And wait, what is the DNS timeout set to? Like, there's just
I think we're also looking
at can really burn you on the DR if you don't think about it ahead of time.
And many times, right, those were like, I'm trying to make sure like the store, like the LUN could fail over, right? You know, which is a different mindset than thinking about from a VM or container standpoint, right? Because when you start getting down to VM, you're not quite at the application, but pretty darn close, right? And so you can start doing things at a policy basis, right, that manage and it can be automated across like applications. And that all of a sudden gives you just a lot of leverage, right, for being able to go and manage things in a way that, you know, can otherwise, like you said, get really component driven and not easily, you know, scaled.
I love that policy automation story, because I know we talk about the software-defined data center, but I like calling it the policy-defined data center, because you've got your SPBM policy for your storage for vVols or vSAN. You've got your NSX policy profile to secure the networking intrinsic there. You've got a policy for replicating it, what type of interval or what type of data protection interval. You've got your compute policies, your DRS policies to govern how much compute's applied or where you place workloads even. I mean, at the end of the day, policies are what should define your data center, not hand-chiseled tools. And we can hit just about every piece of it now, including the protection.
Well, and it's especially important when you start organizing your data center around the element of your that's changing the fastest. See, it used to be like when apps changed like every 5 years, right? Remember like ERP systems and CRM systems, they just didn't change very fast.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't that important, right? To be like moving at the speed of the apps.
Because there's nothing avant-garde about the HP UX, you know, based you.
Yeah. You're like, it's not moving very fast. Well, now, you know, I think we have some data now that shows that there's more applications going to be developed in the next 5 years than in the past 40 years of computing.
Incredible, yeah.
And so if you think about like the pace of change, what you need to have, you need to organize around the fastest changing element of your stack. And so the idea that you can start organizing, right, whether it's the infrastructure or, you know, server-based scale-out systems as, you know, in place of scale-up proprietary systems, when you think about like DR and policy-based, it comes back to your point, John, of the policy-based becomes the escape valve to keep up with the pace of change.
Yeah, you just assign your policies to each app and let it fly. So
yeah,
and if there's a breach of that policy, you'll get a nice alert that says, "Hey, you're not meeting this anymore."
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious to see. I'm reading everything I can about this acquisition. Any inside tips you can share with us on what specifically we can expect within this acquisition?
Well, you know, VMworld's always a good time to look around. So you can imagine there are people working fairly aggressively, right, to make sure that we have not just something to show, but, you know, modern launches, you know, involve customers, analysts, right? I mean, proof of points, right, that show that, hey, the product is, you know, actually in use. And so I would say, you know, there's a brand expectation that customers have from VMware.
Oh, yeah.
And DR is not something where you go out and just throw something against the wall and hope it works. I mean, so there's a brand expectation from VMware that, you know, the field knows how to go and talk through the product, that the product is supported, right, and supported by our, you know, extensive worldwide global teams, that you know, all the, like, documentation, basic things like that you can order it.
Technical,
right?
Technical marketing, huh? We need to get some of that.
So there's a, you know, pretty good laundry list of things, but, you know, those are all within our control right now. So I think, you know, what you should look for from us, what should people be asking for? You know, we're saying it's cost optimized. So the question is, what's the cost? That'd be a good thing to know, right? So people should be looking for that. They should be asking for that and making sure that they've got a, you know, an answer around that. They should be looking at, hey, if you're saying it's warm and versus hot, like, what does that mean? Like, help me with the trade-off and understanding, like, what does it mean? Right. And how big, like, is that data size specific and scaling, and how do I help me scale those elements?
Yeah. That's so the curious that part.
Yeah. Really curious. Right. Because listen, you know, the thing is, by even talking about it that way, we're saying you need to be thinking about the trade-offs. And I think that's super important, because you don't want somebody who just wants instant, they basically want what they have, like, on-prem today and, like, live replicated data, and just say, hey, I just want that in the cloud, but at a much lower cost. Like, if you go to the cloud in the first place, you've probably already made an internal choice.
Right.
That says you're willing to make trade-offs just by the nature of the latency and bandwidth that you have going across the hybrid cloud, right? If you haven't, then, you know, we should be in another room.
Yeah. If you haven't, then you're probably on a Dilbert cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I think these will be the questions, right? And we'll be looking to go and make sure that those are, you know, clear to our customers, and that you basically have a good way to go and self-select into this. We're certainly looking to make a lot of that upfront online so that customers can do their research upfront, right? And so, you know, expect us to race to bring that, along with things like hands-on labs and other things, right, that people can go and try it out, you know, test it out themselves.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, I'll be looking forward to it. John, I think that's our time. Anything else before we let Lee go?
No, I think we're going to have another, like, technical ultra deep dive from some of the Datrium people coming over here as a follow-up. So be on the lookout for that, podcast listeners.
Yeah. Once we get specifics, and once we're allowed to talk about more detailed information, that'll definitely be another really good episode for that as well. But Lee, thanks so much for joining and sharing some of the VMware vision on this. I think we got some cool things to look forward to.
Always a pleasure. Love talking with you guys.
All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this in all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Lee Caswell for sharing the VMware vision for Datrium. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.